everyone, and welcome to another episode of Holy Spirit Soapbox. Thanks for being with us. Stacy and Dan here together for you today for a special episode that is sometimes hard to talk about. So to start, here's a really impactful, true story. Decades ago, there was a young woman in her teenage years who immigrated to the United States from Asia with her large family. It was a scary but exciting time. She had dreams of finishing school, getting her engineering degree, and then living out the successful quote-unquote American dream. As you could imagine, immigrating across the world came with worry. But, as with typical Asian countries, family played a major role and it was often very tight-knit. Until you could make friends in a new country, you almost have to lean on family and/or God if you believe in Him. This young woman identified as Catholic at this time and believed in God, but family was really more important to her than anything else. As she was finishing up school and started to work and pay through college, she met a young man. This man was from the U.S., also believed in God, and was very close in age, so they became close. They became so close that they were planning on getting married later in the upcoming year after she graduated from college. This was going to be an amazing, fun, exciting year. New country, new degree, great job, and now a new husband. Now, even though they both believed in God, they didn't actually follow Christ. God was just another religion or family tradition. They did some partying, and one thing led to another, and the young woman became pregnant. She became pregnant just a few months before she was about to graduate from college and then get married to the young man. She was devastated. She was also worried about what her family might think. She was so worried about her future and her career. She wanted to party and have fun with friends in college. All those dreams started to disappear right in front of her eyes. The young man, unfortunately, was in between jobs, and both of them were low income. They didn't have much. She felt they weren't prepared for a baby. They did their best to hide their pregnancy as long as they could, and even planned to move up the wedding so she wasn't showing as much, and so they wouldn't get as much backlash from family if they did decide to keep him or her. But she was scared of losing the life she envisioned and the control of the situation, and the thoughts intruded her mind. Should I keep this baby or not? The young woman visited a clinic to get some more information. While she was there, she noticed people praying and urging mothers to not go into the clinic to terminate their pregnancy. She saw the process of abortion within the information she was given and started to feel uneasy, but she was still unsure. She decided to take the information and walk out to go discuss this with her fiancé. When she left, people that were praying asked if she went through with the process. She said no, and they immediately started clapping and cheering. It made her feel good, but the worry and thoughts still lingered. What if I become outcasted by my family and friends because I'm pregnant before marriage? What if they don't offer me any support? What if my fiancé can't find a job? When will I have a little time to have fun with friends and family? When will I have time in general? How can we even afford this baby? So many questions raced through this young woman's mind. Her American dream almost seemed distant. Some of her family members started to catch on and pulled her and her fiancé aside to have a discussion. "What's going on?" they asked. "Well, we found out that she's pregnant, so we want to move the wedding up so she isn't very pregnant during the wedding," the young man said. The topic of terminating the pregnancy comes up again, this time by the family members, but the young man said, "No, that's not an option." The thing is, it further emphasized and brewed in the young woman's mind. She now was thinking more and more about it because her family, as well as the young man's family, suggested it as well. Now, weirdly enough, this young woman didn't listen to Madonna much, but every time she sat in her car, the song "Papa Don't Preach" would come on. Some of those lyrics go, "Papa, don't preach. I've been losing sleep, but I've made up my mind. I'm keeping my baby." Almost every time she sat in the car, this song would come on. almost like God was using secular music to preach to her. The young man consistently urged her to keep the child as well. He was adamant and mentioned that terminating the pregnancy was not what he believed in, and that he believed things would work out. They ended up getting married a few months later, but in the midst of all the worry, possible shame, and fear, she ended up keeping the child. Praise God. That child is now an adult with a wife and several young children. The child continuously lives for Christ, spreading the gospel to the world through several platforms that God has given him. The young woman and man unfortunately divorced years later, but they're both now living for Christ. Their focus is bringing the gospel to their local communities and to the world. Friends, I'm telling you this story because that child is my husband, Dan. And the young woman and man in the story are Dan's parents, my in-laws. I am so incredibly thankful they chose to keep his life. Without it, I wouldn't have met or married Dan. We wouldn't have our wonderful children, and Holy Spirit Soapbox may have never been. Now, the goal of this episode is not to glorify Dan, the podcast, or his story, but it's to emphasize that children, if it's in God's will one day have ministries of their own. It may not be a podcast or a church or as an international missionary, but it could be the ministry of marriage, parenting, friendships, etc. We want to give this additional perspective to prove how deeply valuable every single life is. We did an episode called We're All Perfectly Knit, where two gentlemen who would normally be looked down upon in society inspired us with their joy, even in the struggles they faced, and with their passion and love for Jesus Christ. We never know how our children may inspire and bless others. I want to bring Dan into this episode now to talk to you from his point of view.
Thank you, Stacy, for helping me tell this story and for setting the table here. You know, after speaking with my mother, who I would never condemn for this, and actually have a lot of empathy for, she mentioned that she was more worried about her career and success at the time. Her family is very successful, and it inspired her. Right? To be like them. But now she still battles a bunch of regret for even thinking about terminating her pregnancy. I would never even condemn her family. I can't condemn her family or any friends or anybody that suggested at that time to terminate her pregnancy. You know, they mention it purely out of empathy for my mother. And I pray that they would never now suggest that to anybody else going forward, but my mom says that the wealth and success aren't even worth it with Christ. To abort a child due to self-focus seemed like the right idea at the time, but now she would never, ever consider it and promotes the value of every single life. My father always felt that way. You know, even though he was worried, he trusted that things would work for the best. When he eventually found Christ and followed him more closely, he absolutely felt that every life is valuable to God, and that every life does make a difference in the world. He still feels like that today. When we follow Jesus Christ and bring others to Jesus Christ, we bring them something that success, wealth, partying, materials, family, friends, and all the rest of the world cannot. And that is hope and eternal life. And Stacy and I feel this way. This is how we feel. And folks, this is a really tough topic to talk about. I've only learned about this recently. Not only does abortion affect me personally, it affects so many people across the globe today. So how can we approach this situation as Christ followers? Well, I'm going to get to that in a second. But first, we are excited to announce that we have partnered with the company EveryLife. Every life's values are rooted in faith in Christ, just like ours, and believe that every baby is a miracle and a gift from above. They cherish, celebrate, and always seek to protect the gift of life. Every Life provides diapers, wipes, and other healthy, safe products for families. So we're going to be sending more information via email, so please feel free to subscribe to us on HolySpiritSoapbox.com, where you can receive updates, prayer requests, and information on this. If you would like to receive a discount to buy baby supplies for yourself or somebody that is in need or somebody that you love, please use the code DAN10, so that's DAN10, to receive 10% off your first order with EveryLife. I had to plug that in really quickly because this company is really, truly amazing. The things that they're doing for unborn babies and for mothers across the globe is so awesome. So we wanted to share that news, this very exciting news. Now, to discuss what we can do to help change the world. I do not have an answer to every single situation, but we have to deeply root ourselves in Christ. And we have to deeply root ourselves in the Word and then become servants of each other. And that is the beginning. First, we need to urge people to follow Jesus and preach the gospel and live it out, which will help all understand that placing our current lives above lives that are to be is not Christ-like in our eternal nature. In this very true story, my mother admitted, she straight up admitted she placed her life, her success, her path to wealth, comfort, convenience, and all that in front of her child's life. She admits that she and my father made a decision that led to my conception, but she wasn't ready to accept the consequence of that decision. You know, being a parent is a form of sacrifice for the greater good of God and mankind. It really is. And Christ was the ultimate sacrifice. We know this. He valued every single life to the point that he saved many that were sinners and were to be condemned to death by humans. And then he saved all of mankind with his death and resurrection. In Philippians 2, Paul says that Jesus did not use his godliness and freedom for self. Instead, he came as a servant to help move people towards the kingdom versus the world. Specifically in Philippians 2, 5 through 8. So read and meditate on that. Read and meditate on that. Ultimately, servitude and sacrifice go hand in hand. When we serve, we sacrifice self. And that is exactly what Jesus taught us to do. Now, second, we shouldn't condemn those that were in a position such as my mother. I know it's hard. And I've heard of difficult stories where a young woman would get pregnant or something, and then instead of support, her parents would heavily condemn her, and maybe the boyfriend too. And the parents might even suggest terminating that said pregnancy. Now, I know this is a very difficult situation, and we want to avoid the situation of pregnancy before marriage by convicting with the word and with our actions as Christ followers by means of abstinence until marriage, but things still do happen. People make mistakes, and if they do, we need to help support these women and men who are worried and afraid, not condemn them. We also need to do the same for those who are not related to us. Like, I just made this example or had this example of parents getting angry with their children getting pregnant prematurely before marriage, whatever you want to call it. But what about those that aren't your family members? What about them? Instead of condemning and excommunicating, we need to support and we need to love and guide. Just imagine this situation, right? You're extremely poor and you burn with passion and now you're expecting a child. You made a mistake. Whether you're a woman or a man in the situation, you might be extremely scared. If you have a good supportive community, though, that can help guide you to Christ first and then aid you with maybe finding a job or babysitting or raising the child even, your anxiety might lessen, wouldn't it? So we have to think in that way, that we can't be condemning because Jesus didn't condemn. Jesus came to save people, and he loved them first. And then next, we have to stop looking at those who are supportive of terminating pregnancies as enemies. Again, another toughie here. Even if you do see them as enemies, Jesus tells us to love our enemies, doesn't he? Matthew 5, 43 to 44. When any of us are focused more on self, it's usually because we don't have a hope of a life in eternity. People believe this is their only life. This is the only life they have to live. So they cherish it, and they protect this life at all costs. even if it means eliminating another person or people from even having their own life. Now, of course, as Christ followers, we know that abortion is a sinful action. It's awful. It is bad. It really is. And it sprouts from a root cause of being oriented away from Christ. You know, Jesus, filled with the Spirit, though, used his life here to focus on God and bring both the Jew and Gentile back to him. He didn't use his life for self, but to serve. We just talked about that. But why this is even more important is that we can't see other people as enemies if we're Christ followers. They may be scared, fearful because they don't have Christ. They may be lost. They might not know Christ at all. And that's where we come in. This is where we come in. We have to now serve and show them who Christ is, instead of condemning them and instead of looking at the people that even support that, you know, walking away from God as enemies. In Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 2, Paul says this: "Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." Restore, not condemn, not break down, not murder. What's the point of murdering a person that has done a murder? In prior chapters and in this chapter in Ephesians 6, Paul talks about living by and in the Spirit versus the flesh. When we're of the flesh, we tend to make fleshly decisions. We need to guide people to Christ and to be of the Spirit versus the flesh. Because you know why? In the Spirit, worry and fear do not exist. Now, more importantly, what he says at the end here: we should bear those burdens with others. If a woman and a man are worried because of their pregnancy, let's go out and help them. We hear in James 1 to help orphans and widows, especially widows with children. Why? Because children with a great foundation in Christ and parents with a great foundation in Christ can change the future population to be more Christ-like. When we set the true gospel in the hearts of all children through word and action, not religion though, through word and action based on love for Christ and people and not religion, that is the greatest gift, because they will grow up with that foundation. And it will be harder for them to crumble and fall to the flesh, even with the pressure of the world. And even if they do fall, which we all do, and even when they sin, which we all do, they will have the foundation to fall back on. So we can't see them as enemies. We can't see people as bad people. We are all sinners. But if we all live and put our identities in Christ, we'll then start to see harmony. Now, this episode and the movement for helping unborn children have a life here on earth are not about oppressing women. We love all women, and men for that matter, and we respect their right to life, including those who are in the womb. Scientifically, life starts at conception, but for God, life started way before in plans that he has made. And that's all suggested in Psalm 139, 13 and 16, Isaiah 44, 24, Jeremiah 1, 5, and Galatians 1, 15. These children who are in the womb are created by God. They're precisely sculpted for his good. He created them and allowed them to be created for him, for his use out of love. No matter if they have what we humans like to call, quote unquote, disabilities, he doesn't see them that way. God has a plan for them. He has the same gift for them as all of us outside of the womb and without these things that we like to call disabilities. Now, I often hear of the argument that people believe in the choice of abortion because the child will have a bad life. Their father won't be there for them. They'll be poor. They'll struggle, etc., etc. We need to address the root cause of each of those things instead of focusing on the final action of aborting a child. Every situation that has led to abortion could have been solved before the abortion by guiding people back to Jesus Christ. Literally every single situation. If you are someone who is considering terminating your pregnancy, please don't. Please reach out to us, Stacy and I, and we'll help try to guide you during this time of fear, worry, and anxiety. Please also reach out to your local community of Christ followers because they are willing to help. Listen, wealth, success, comfort, convenience, partying, all that stuff will not lead you to everlasting life. Only Jesus can. And heaven is way more amazing than this life here on earth. I promise you. So we should tell the world of how great Jesus is. Let's not fear. Let's just live for Christ. And if you've had an abortion in the past, there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. You are forgiven today. If it was based on self-motives, you can now move forward and go and sin no more, as Jesus says, because you have the ability to give your life to Jesus Christ today. Listen, because my mother didn't go forward with terminating her pregnancy, my father, her, me, my wife, and hopefully our kids are all Christ followers with the foundation of Christ and of love. And I'm just one example. I am just one example. I'm not sure how many people out there who have inspired and blessed any of us are ones that have a similar story, ones that we never would have met and would never have a voice. Folks, the issue today, though, is not the action of abortion. It is bad, and it's really unnecessary, and it purely is life-taking. It is a life-taking action, but the issue today is not the action of abortion. The issue today is the lack of Jesus Christ embedded into our foundation, first as children, then as adults. A lot of people nowadays do not have Christ branded on their hearts, like it says in Galatians 6, at the end of Galatians 6. We're not branded and scarred. We don't have Christ's scars because we didn't accept him fully. And that's the issue today. He died on a cross for you. He took your past, your present and future sins and said, they are forgiven, and then took them on the cross with him. He then resurrected after 3 days as he promised and cleansed the world of sin, that if you start to follow Christ as a self-sacrificing servant for all man, woman, and child, and unborn child, you will have eternal life in paradise. When we are in Christ, we no longer want to sin or orient ourselves toward selfish motives. Today is the day to pick up your cross and follow Jesus.
I want to re-emphasize, this episode is not to glorify Dan, but this is the person that I do life with every single day as one flesh. Think of someone that has impacted your life so much and that you love so deeply, and now think of them gone. If they were never born, you wouldn't have been able to experience the love that you have for them and the love that you receive from them. Now, we just have one question for you today. How valuable is life to you?
Thank you so much for joining in today. And thank you for listening to my story. Thank you for joining Stacy and I to talk about this challenging but important topic. We love you. Jesus loves you. And I would love to close this out in prayer here. So if you could take your prayer posture, whatever it looks like, if it's safe to do so, let's talk to God. Our Father who is in heaven, holy are you. We thank you so much for life. Thank you for perfectly sculpting us to work for you, to live for you, to be eternal. We thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to meet each other and to love each other as you have loved us. I want to pray for all of those who are in fear right now, who are scared if they're pregnant and they're unsure of what to do, that you have a plan for them and their child. and that they have freedom in you and they should fear no more. I pray that they feel that anxiety melt off their bodies today, out of their hearts and out of their minds, and that all of that shifts away so they can start focusing on you. They can give their lives to you, and then you can provide to them everything that they need that you promise you will do if we just focus on you. Father, you are amazing. And I want to pray for every life out there and all the lives that were lost. We love you and we ask all of this in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen.